Amen. Those are a delight. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Excellent, excellent. I hope everyone is well, and want to encourage you, if you need prayer for anything, if you want to talk to us or myself, our pastoral staff and our shepherds are always here to serve you. And so we have those awesome connection cards in the front of the seats backs, and you can fill one of those out. Say, hey, I want to have coffee with Brandon. Sold. And then drop that in the offering box, and we will have somebody reach out and connect to you for that. Also, there is an opportunity for you to participate in our Scripture from the Heart team. So how many of y'all enjoy the Scripture from the Heart folks as they come and share God's Word? Okay, great. So I'm giving you fair notice that we, after Easter, will be in the book of 1 Samuel. And so we are looking for folks who want to help us hear God's word from memory in the book of 1 Samuel. And so a couple things. I send out an email. If you are not getting those emails as a regular attender or member of the church, first thing you should do is check your spam box, because that's where they like to put me. And the second thing you should do is, if you didn't get anything, contact the office and we'll make sure to update your email address and get you on those lists, because we would love for you to participate. And if you want to join in on the Scripture from the Heart team for 1 Samuel, come talk to me. I have a whole list. I will give you your Scripture passage now, and you could start memorizing it. Some of them are about 8 to 10 verses. Some of them are like 25 to 30. So depending on how brave you are, you can gauge your interest. Or you can even look through the passages ahead of time and say, okay, that one doesn't have any crazy names. I'll pick that one. So come find me. I would love for you guys to participate in that incredible ministry. So this morning we're in our second week of our Why series, and we're asking the questions, why does the church do the things that we do? Why do we do all the things that happen here on a Sunday morning? And this morning we're going to answer the question, why do we preach? Why does this guy get up here and talk to you each and every week? Why do we devote so much time to this activity we call preaching? Was Tony right? Is it because the preacher loves to tell you all the things that you're doing wrong? Or maybe because you're my minions following me blindly? That one's delightful. I just had to do like the excellent, you know. Maybe, you know, he didn't put this on there, but I think maybe it's because I'm so, so wise. And you just need to hear what I have to say, right? That must be it. Why does the church have preaching in its services? And we want to hear what God's word tells us. This is why we're doing this, to find out what God's word says are the answers to these questions. So I invite you this morning, church, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16. We'll go all the way through chapter 4, verse 5. If you don't know where Timothy is, just go until you get a whole string of T's in a row. You know, Thessalonians, Titus, Timothy, they'll all be there together in a big clump. So we want to answer the question of why we preach. And God's word says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Praise the Lord for his holy word, church. Join me in prayer. Let's ask God to bless our time as we go into this passage together. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for the gift of your word, the ability for us to open up and to hear what you would have for us. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts and the minds this morning. Use this empty and broken vessel for your glory. And Lord, may you be the one who receives all the glory and all the honor. You are worthy of all of that and more. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So I think before we talk about preaching, we need a little bit of a foundation, right? We need to address the question about what do we believe this is? What do we believe the Bible actually is? I think this is a significant question for any church member, any Christian person. Because if you ever stop to consider what this book actually is, yes, it is a collection of writings written by followers of God, comprised of 66 books written over 1,500 years by more than 40 authors on three continents in three different languages. It is the most widely read, widely printed, best-selling, and even the most shoplifted book in the world. I mean, if you're going to steal a book, you might as well steal this one. And then read it. Hopefully that's what they're doing with it. I don't know. But despite all those interesting facts about God's word, this is not why the Bible is significant. The Holy Scriptures are significant because they are the verbally inspired word of God. The final authority for faith and life. Inerrant in the original writings, infallible and God-breathed. They testify about how God has revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and they express the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory and man's salvation. If you ever want that definition, I actually wrote a statement of faith when I was looking for lead pastor jobs, and that was my statement based on scripture for those job interviews. And so I'm going to read it to you one more time. Because this is what I believe God's word is. The verbally inspired word of God, the final authority for faith and life, inerrant in the original writings, infallible and God-breathed. They testify about how God has revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and expressed the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory and man's salvation. Church, the Bible is God's voice to you. And often I hear Christians say, you know, I just don't feel like God speaks to me. I don't hear his voice. And my question back is always, why are you not reading his word? He's given it to you so that you could speak, he could speak to you. Paul Tripp writes this. He said, the Bible speaks with power and practicality to everything that you are facing, thinking, and feeling. The God who seems distant to you in the moment is actually near and active. And often all that takes is opening up of his word. The average American has 9 Bibles in their home. Some of you probably have well over that. So there is no excuse to not open God's word and hear what he would have for you. And the Bible is such an amazing book because it shows us that our God desires to be in a relationship with us, that he cares for us, that he desires our lives to be changed by the power of this book. And there is no greater gift to the church than the Word of God. Now, obviously, Jesus is the answer, but in the Word of God, we can see Jesus clearly. Then my point, church, is that as we gather for worship, we do so to know and to glorify God and his Son Jesus. Because of his works, because of what he has done for us. And we can only see those works clearly in his word. So the Bible should always hold a prominent place when Christians gather together. If you're gathering with Christians in your home, the Bible should hold a significant place as you gather. Not only that, we are reminded that we gather week in and week out to reestablish, to remind ourselves of the faith that we've been given through Christ and through His Word. And Paul reminds us in Romans 10 that faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. How do you grow in your faith? By the hearing of the Word. Not just once, but over and over and over again. The church has put the Word of God in such a significant place in our corporate gatherings because in our worship, we desire to know our God. And He has revealed Himself to us most clearly through His Word. God does His work in the world by His Word. He gives us new life in His Word. He awakens our faith by His Word. And without the Word of God, there would be no life, no faith, and no worship. Without the Word of God, this entire gathering would be fruitless. The Word of God is as important to our worship services as air is to breathing. Without it, we could not survive. So we've established why God's Word is important, but why is preaching so important? Why does some guy need to get up and talk to you about God's Word? You see, in Timothy, 2 Timothy verse chapters 3 and 4, Paul is moving from encouraging Timothy to live out the Christian life according to God's Word, and then he gives him this charge in chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word. Now, since we know that the Bible is not a collection of opinions of men and women, but are God's very words to us, and since we believe that they're the only authoritative and final rule of faith and practice, Timothy is not only going to live by those words, he has been told to proclaim those words to others through the preaching of that word, to preach the message of the gospel found on the pages of the Bible. Now, regardless of the fact that Paul is making this exhortation to a preacher, right? So some of you might think, oh, well, this passage is for preachers and the congregants can just pass on it. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to use his gifts of preaching for the edification of the church. But I believe there are still several practical applications for us in this passage. Because I think understanding the role of preaching in the church is important because of the place that God's Word has as such a central part of our gathering. And it's important for us to know what your role is in the preaching of God's Word. Do you know you are called to participate in it? You are not just supposed to be passively sitting there evaluating or falling asleep. I know who you are. I love you. And I love what Soren Kierkegaard told us about the role of the preacher. This is what he said. He said, people have an idea that the preacher is an actor on a stage and they are the critics, blaming or praising him. It happens. What they don't know is that they are the actors on the stage. And he, the preacher, is merely the prompter standing in the wings, reminding them of their lost lines. It's a good one. You see, preachers are simply called to point you to your role as disciples of Christ. We are called to proclaim the truth so that you live out your faith in a way that is honoring to the Lord. Paul tells Timothy that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Church, this is why we preach. Sometimes it's to encourage you. Sometimes it's to smack you upside the head and say, hey, what are you doing? And sometimes it's just, hey, I'm going to drag you along because this is don't like it, this is what God has told you to do. Paul is telling us that God has ordained to speak to us. He wants to speak to us, to reveal himself to us, and interpret his deeds and history for us by inspiring the written words of men. Now, the word scripture actually simply means writings. It's not that fancy. The word scripture just means a collection of writings. And all the writings found in the canon of scripture from Genesis to Revelation are God-inspired and God-breathed. And 2 Peter 1:21 tells us this, that there is no prophecy ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Who wrote this book? Holy Spirit is the answer, according to 2 Peter 1:21. Everything written in the Bible is God speaking and revealing himself to you and I. And we want the Word of God to always remain a central part of our worship services because it is how God reveals himself to us. And a preacher's job is simply to point you to that truth. What does God want to say to you? You know, the astounding thing for me as a preacher is I can preach one message to a room full of people. And what the Holy Spirit does is he takes that message and he pierces your heart in different ways. That is one of the most amazing gifts I have to see as a preacher. That it's not my words, but the Holy Spirit piercing your hearts and changing who you are by the power of the Word. Now let's look together at 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You see, right after declaring that all Scripture is breathed by God himself, Paul tells Timothy, so preach the word. Paul makes it clear that preaching is not just an activity for an evangelist to proclaim the gospel to non-believers. To evangelize, but that is not the call of a preacher. He says in Timothy 4 that preaching is so that believers can receive reproof, rebuke, and exhortation with patience and instruction. You see, we preach because the God's word tells us we should, to offer non-believers the hope of the gospel and to remind believers of what their responsibilities are in following Jesus. And I want to look at a few scriptural examples of this. This mic keeps cutting out, huh? Battery says it's full. Okay. See how that works. So I want to look at a few Old Testament or Old and New Testament examples of preaching and how this looked in these periods. And so in the Old Testament, Nehemiah, you don't have to turn there if you don't want, it'll be on the screen, but it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Now, he's not prideful, he's just literally higher in the room. This is why we stand on a stage, right? And he opened it to all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen. They were more gospel than we are, right? You could testify a little bit. It's okay. Lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now here's a verse for all you Scripture from the Heart folks, right? A bunch of names. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maasiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites. Now, if you're looking for children's names, this is maybe a list that could suit you. But here was their role as they gathered together. It said that they helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So y'all are sitting there, and they came up and helped explain what had been told to them. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. You see, the priests, these leaders in the church here, didn't just read the law to the people and then sit down. It said that they helped the people understand it by proclaiming what God was actually saying to them, so that they had clarity on what they had heard. And often we hear a passage and we think, I think I know what that means. Or maybe I have no idea what that means. And preacher's job is to share with you the context and the history and the truth of what that passage actually means. Now in the New Testament, this same pattern continues. When Jesus began his ministry, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. Now, this would have been a common practice, but then what happens is that he interprets the passage for the people. He tells them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your midst. He explains to them what that passage in Isaiah actually means. If you go back and you read that passage in Isaiah and you think it's about anything other than Christ, Jesus says, no, let me explain to you. As your preacher, this passage is about me. This was normal as the people gathered in the synagogue for worship. The word was read and someone would give an interpretation and application of that passage. Paul does the same thing in Acts chapter 13. Verses 14 through 47, I'm not going to read that huge passage. But Paul goes into the synagogue in Antioch. And we are told that after reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. And the rest of that passage from 15 on is Paul preaching a sermon in the synagogue in Antioch. And you can read his sermon. It's beautiful. So another reason I want to give you that preaching is a central part of the gathering of the church and essential to our life together is that it is the established pattern of Scripture. We see example after example of the reading of God's word and the exhortation or explanation of God's word to the people. And what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. That word for preach is the same word as herald, announce, or proclaim. It's kind of the same idea as a town crier. Now, we don't have town criers these days, right? Because we got, that's way worse. That is not where we should be going for proclamation. But 100 years ago, a town crier would be sent to a city and he would walk through the streets saying, hear ye, hear ye. And then he would proclaim the message of the king, right? The king would make a proclamation. He would want to speak some truth to the people, and the town crier's job was to communicate that truth so the people could hear it. And they would go through the town proclaiming that message. The king's message to the people. A God's voice to his people comes through redeemed sinners, broken pastors and sinners who faithfully submit to the truth of the message of God in order that the people might know the will of their king. It's always astounded me that God uses sinners to proclaim his truth to his people, but that is his heart. And he does it almost in every area of ministry. Michael Horton said this. He said, there can be no separation of the word of God from the church's speech. God could speak to us today apart from human mediation, but he has chosen instead to address us through other sinners whose mouth he consecrates. See, true preaching is not a TED Talk. Sorry, if those are the churches you like, what you're hearing is not the Word of God. It's just some trite encouragement that might give you some direction for life or not. True preaching is not based on my opinion. I'm not sitting at home thinking, well, here's really what they need to hear. And it's not just an encouragement or a rebuke. Some weeks you're going to leave feeling encouraged and built up. And other times you're going to leave and say, man, he beat me up a little. That's just part of the deal. True preaching is not even giving people information about God. You can find information about God anywhere. It is glorifying God through the declaration of biblical truth. This is my aim when I stand up here. Not to please you, but to please him. And to declare the truth at all costs. Whether that truth is popular or not. Or whether your itching ears say, ugh, I don't like that. If I'm speaking his word, then your beef is not with me, it's with him. Take it to him, I tell you all the time. If you have a complaint about me, go to him first, and then we can talk. The preaching of God is the faithful exposition of God's word delivered with fervency and passion to God's people so that they hear the voice and know the will of God the Father. Church, the reason that preaching is so prominent in worship, why we give it so much time in the service, is that it's not just understanding, it is also feeling. It is not just seeing God, it is knowing God. It is not just the response of your mind, it is also the response of your heart. So when you're hearing God's word preached, you should have a cognitive and an emotional response. And God has ordained this form of communication in his word, so that corporate worship is not just one or the other. It's not just an explanation of facts, and it's not just an emotional response. It is both and. The word of God is to come, teach our minds, and reach our hearts, showing the truth of Christ and exalting his glory to the people, expositing the word of God and exulting in who he is in his word. This is what true preaching is. This is why we believe it to be significant in our worship service. And most importantly, it is a gift and a work of the Holy Spirit. This is true of all gifts. This is not just true of preaching, right? Just as a side note, if you are serving faithfully in whatever God has called you to, that is not of your own doing. That is a gift and a blessing of the Holy Spirit working through you. So there is no honor for us. The honor belongs to him. So here's my question this morning, church. If this is how God seeks to communicate with you, how do you prepare each week for the sermon? Do you just show up? The least possible option, right? I'm here and I might be awake. Fair, that's fair. And if that's you, okay. But we can do better. We can do better than that. Have you prepared your heart and your mind to receive what God would speak to you today? And sometimes you just might need to, as you walk through the doors, Lord Jesus, show me who you are today. Show me what you would have for me. Let me hear your truth. Soften my heart. Clear up all the distractions in my mind. Show me who you are. It could be as simple as that. Pray that prayer as you're walking through the door. Lord, here I am. I'm moving up the ladder here, right? Did you, before you came to church, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Ask for God to reveal His will for your life. This is something you could do as your feet hit the floor. Lord, I am yours. Mold me into your image. Show me who you are so that I can become more like you. And as you hear these words, Lord, challenge me. Put a fire under my feet and in my heart. Because it's different than sitting there comfortably with a critical heart, ready to dissect or decide if you agree or disagree with whatever is being proclaimed. Because I think the job of the congregation in preaching is to come humbly, ready to grab hold of whatever the Lord would have for you today. If you've never read the book, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert by Rosaria Butterfield, I highly recommend it. And she was a avid non-believer, an atheist. And she sat under the preaching of this guy, and this is what she writes in response to that preaching. She said, I came to believe that my job was not to receive and critique a sermon, but to dig into it, to seize its power, to participate with its message, to steal its fruit. Are you ready to dig into God's word today because of what you hear each week, even if it robs you the wrong way, challenges you, or even if you disagree with what I'm saying? Are you willing to wrestle with what the Lord speaks to you through the preaching of His word? And unfortunately, Paul tells Timothy what many of the people's response will be. And I think when you read this verse, you know this is where our culture's at. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Church, how many of us collect preachers? Or collect the sermons that suit us. And maybe they're not even sermons. Maybe they are simply TED Talks. And you think, oh, this one makes me feel real good, so I run back to that one all the time. But there's no foundation in God's word. Maybe he read a scripture. That's nice. It is your job to prayerfully receive God's truth, making sure that the word is received with all eagerness and examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So your job is not only to pray and prepare, it is to then run to God's word afterwards and see if what I'm saying is actually here. And if you come back to me and say, hey, what you preached was not in God's word, come, please, I want that. Not because you disagree, but because it didn't honor or glorify the truth of God's word. Eagerly receiving, and then running to the word to confirm truth. Church, this is our responsibility in preaching. I have my job, and y'all have yours. And I want to encourage you with one more thought. From James chapter 1. One of those books that you just read it and every time you go, oh man, he's talking to me again. But hear what the Lord tells us in James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Again, I'm going to give you, this is part of your role. Or all of our role, really. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. See, church, it's never enough to just sit and hear. If you do nothing, then you've missed it. If you do nothing with this, if you never seek to make a change, if you never challenge your own practices to become more like Jesus, then all of this is just a chasing after the wind. Receive with meekness the implanted word and be someone who puts that word into practice. Preaching of the word is not just given for you to receive, but to live. To take what the Lord has shown you, to make changes in your life accordingly. Don't dig your heels in when God is saying, hey, I'm trying to point something out here. I'm trying to help you become more like Jesus. And you're just digging your heels in being like, this is just who I am. Not being hearers, but doers. People who look into God's perfect law and take action. Church, this is why we preach. Because the God of creation is trying to get your attention. The God of all creation is speaking to you. And he wants to transform you into the likeness of his son Jesus. And your king has given you this herald as a reminder of all that he's done for you in the gospel. And to call you to respond to that gift by living a life of repentance and submission to his word. So church, I would ask you, let's pray for one another. Pray for me as I prepare. Pray for yourselves that as you hear the preaching of the word in this place, every one of us would become a people who are transformed by the power of the preached word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do love you, even if it's only because you loved us first. Lord, and in that love, you've called us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to daily follow after you. You don't simply offer a gift of salvation and say, be on your merry way. But you've called us to repent, to turn from our weakness, and to pursue holiness. And so, Lord, I confess that I need your help. I need your grace. I need to be reminded of your mercy and your love so that I can persevere in this journey of faith that you've called me on. Lord, help me run to your word when I'm tempted. Help me run to your word when I don't know the way. Help me run to your word to see who you are, that I might become a vessel who brings you glory. Move in this place, Spirit, we ask. Change us and mold us into your image. We thank you for the precious gift of your word and the privilege of being able to proclaim it. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.